May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to build a little bit on what we shared yesterday. Let me just remind you quickly from Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, only live as citizens in a manner worthy of the Lord, citizens of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or remain absent, I may hear of your good standing and your standing firm in faith. In no way alarmed by your adversaries, which is a sign of destruction to them, but of deliverance for you. That's such a powerful biblical principle, again, that if you're under attack, if you're being assaulted by the enemy in any way, shape, or form, he said, if you'll stand firm in your faith, and Paul described that over and over again in Philippians as rejoicing in the Lord always, he said, if you'll stand firm in your faith, it'll be a sign of destruction to the enemy and a sign of your deliverance. And what we said yesterday is that I believe this was on my heart. I found it to be true in my own walk for a long time, that if whatever the attack is, whether you understand what's going on, don't understand what's going on, can't really see the outcome circumstantially or can see the outcome circumstantially, if you'll just stand firm in faith, rejoicing in the Lord, the enemy will eventually, as a sign of destruction to him, he'll start backing out because he'll start getting it that he's not accomplishing what he came to accomplish, to kill, steal, and to destroy. As a matter of fact, his purposes and plans are being destroyed and he'll start backing away. It's a great, great spiritual weapon. But this is a root thing in terms of foundationally Paul's mindset that would allow him to rejoice in the Lord always, even though his circumstances were not good ones. As I mentioned to you yesterday, he wrote Philippians as he did Ephesians from being under house arrest for 2 years. So all of his movements were restricted. As far as he knew, he was facing death. He was in Rome, imprisoned, under house arrest. And yet, this is what he says about that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now remember, this is the same guy who over in chapter 2 says, in verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So here was Paul's reality check, that those around him thought maybe he was captivated by them. He had been captured by them. He was imprisoned by them. He was restricted in his movements and his life. What Paul believed was that he was seated in the heavenly places in Christ and that he was a prisoner of Christ. Rome had nothing to do with it. They were just an instrument of God in his life. In the Ephesians 4 passage, verse 1, remember he said that passage I read to you from Philippians, walk in a manner that's worthy, live like a citizen of the gospel in a worthy way, which is to stand in faith. Don't live by what your eyes see. We live by faith. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, again he says that, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says this, verse 19, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Wow. Paul said he was in chains as an ambassador. He wasn't a victim. He was seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And as a believer in the kingdom, we're called to be light. And so he was called into that situation to do what? To be an ambassador, to shine for the gospel. That was the foundation of his faith. that was a sign of destruction to the enemy. Black in Philippians 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstance, being imprisoned, have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. And now, like how he puts this here, he says, and my imprisonment in Christ. And goes on and speaks. Verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. You've heard this, me say this a gazillion times. If I live long enough, you'll be more gazillions more. Here is the foundation of Paul's perspective about reality. He was in Christ. Everything else was secondary. Everything else were second causes. That was the most real thing. He was in Christ, and because he was in Christ, and Christ is seated in the heavenly places, he was in the heavenly places with Christ, in Christ, even though his feet were squarely on the earth and his circumstances weren't good. His circumstances didn't dictate to him what was the chief reality. The chief reality was he was in Christ, seated in the heavenly places, called into the situation to be an ambassador, to shine. Now, understanding where Paul's coming from, again, hear this. This is verse 12 of Philippians 2. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but also much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and complaining, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You see Paul's thing? Paul said, Romans think they've got me. Here's the deal. I got them where I want, right where I want them. Jesus is winning. I'm winning. I'm here because I'm in Christ. And I'm actually seated in heavenly places. And when you're seated in heavenly places, you see things from a different perspective. If you stand in a four-story building, everything looks different than if you stand on the ground. Because I see things from a different perspective. I'm in Christ. I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm a prisoner in Christ. And I've been sent here to be an ambassador, to influence everybody around me in this situation for the gospel. And the way to undo that, the way to not be a light, what's the opposite of, what's faith look like? Rejoicing in the Lord always, because I believe this is, I'm in Christ. This is about furthering the gospel. But if I don't believe that, I won't be lights. I'll do what the world does. I'll grumble and complain about everything that goes on that doesn't feel good, doesn't make sense, doesn't seem fair or unjust. That's where we live every day, isn't it? Like in your job, or in your home, or in the line at Walmart, or you got in the wrong line at Winn-Dixie. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.